If you ever want to read them, I'll look at them. They're in Matthew 6. And they start with a series of blessings. And Jesus goes on to talk about salt and light, fulfillment of the law, murder, adultery, divorce, oaths, eye for an eye, love for enemies. He talks about all sorts of things, one after the other. And they're all very practical things, the things that we need to deal with day by day. So if you've got your Bibles and you want to, open them up at Matthew 6, and then when I come to the various bits, you can look with me. If not, that's fine. I'll be reading them anyway. Jesus starts by talking about giving. Talks about giving to people and giving to the poor. And he says this: be careful when you do something, don't do it in front of others so that they will see you. If you do that, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to those who are poor, don't announce that you are giving. Don't be like the hypocrites. When they are in the synagogues and on the streets, they blow trumpets before they give so that people will see them. They want everyone to praise them. The truth is, that's all the reward they will get. So when you give to the poor, don't let anyone know what you are doing. Your giving should be done in private. Your Father can see what is done in private, and he will reward you. When I first read that, there was one word that leapt out at me. It's in the reading a couple of times, and I'm going to give you a minute to think about if anything leaps out at you. Just one word. If you don't get it, I'll give you some clues. Tricky, isn't it? Tricky looking for one word.
Giving.
Sorry, we've got
giving.
Excellent. Not the word I was thinking, but sorry. Needy. Needy. Excellent again, but not the word that leapt out at me.
Reward.
The what? No. Nope. No. 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 We've had reward, and it's not that either. Do you want a clue? Four letters. Four letters. Sorry. No. 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 I'm going to have to tell you, Hans, I can tell. Are you ready? When. When. It's a small word, but if you look at the reading, it makes such a difference. When you give to those who are poor. You wouldn't hear that these days in a sermon. You'd probably hear a shorter word with two letters, if. Jesus knew that these people, Pharisees and the Sadducees, people he didn't particularly like very well, but he knew what they did. When you give to the poor. We'll come across it later in the reading as well. But that when is very important, because can we really look at our lives and go, when we give to the poor, when we do these things, or is it changed to an if? Does it go from four letters to two? Does it go from when to if? I don't know. You know. I know for me, and you know for you. Be careful. Take heed. It's a serious matter, is what Jesus is saying. He's saying to people, listen. Have you ever heard that? Do you remember that from school? When the teacher could see you sort of flagging and you weren't really concentrating. And we had one particular teacher, chemistry it was, and every so often he'd go, listen! And the whole class sat. I know that was a bit scary, wasn't it? But that's what Jesus would have been saying to them. That's the way he was doing it. It was like, listen, this is important stuff. You need to know it in order to live the lives that God wants you to live. Don't announce you are giving. Don't tell everybody what you're doing, because that takes value away from it. And you're doing it then for the wrong reason. You're giving because you want people to look and think what a good person you are. God sees the motive of the heart. Now, that's the nut of this bit. God sees the motive of the heart. And Jesus knows why people are doing what they're doing, and he rewards them according to why they are doing what they are doing. When you give, do so discreetly. Nobody needs to know what you have done. What about the other way around? What about if you're the receiver? If you're somebody that somebody's done something for, should you go and tell everybody? Oh, Paul's a lovely lad. You know what he did for me the other week? He did this and this and this and this. No, not really. Do you know what God has done for me through somebody? God has met my needs in this way. We don't need to know how. We just need to know that that has been done by God through somebody, and give the glory back to God. Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. God knows what's going on in our hearts. So we might fool ourselves, we might even fool other people, but we're not fooling God. Prayer, the next bit that he touches on. Matthew 6, verse 5. Got a very important word to start this. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to stand in the synagogues and on the street corners and pray loudly. They want people to see them, and the truth is, that's all the reward they get. But when you pray, you should go into your room and close the door. Then pray to your Father. He is there in that private place. He can see what he's done in private, and he will reward you. And when you pray, don't be like people who don't know God. They say the same things again and again, and they think that if they say it enough, then God will hear them. Don't be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that your name will always be kept holy. We pray that your kingdom will come, then that what you want will be done here on earth the same as in heaven. Give us the food we need for today. He goes on into the Lord's Prayer. And again, we see when you pray. Could God make that assumption about you and I if Jesus was talking to us today? Could Jesus stand at the front of this church and say to everybody, when you pray? Or would there be people already thinking, what do you mean, when? I sort of pray now and again when things are getting a bit tough, when things aren't quite the way I want them to be. I might pray about things. When there's something I really want or something I really need, I might ask God about it and talk to him. But apart from that, it's not really when. It's more sort of an if, really. Do we need to change our prayer life from an if to a when? Prayer for a Christian is not an option, according to Jesus. It's a necessity. It's communication from our side to God, and his word is communication to us. So that book that some of you are holding, that's God's way of speaking to you, part of God's way of speaking to you. And if we don't open it and we don't read it, then God isn't able to speak to us through the words that he's written for us. I'm sure you've all heard about relationships. I don't know if anyone's ever been to relationship counselling, but they always seem to say the same things. They always say that the problem is you're not communicating with one another. You're not talking to each other. You're not listening to each other. If you do that, then things will get better. I'm not looking at Iris. Who wasn't looking at John. I know, and John was sat there all innocently, wasn't he? All innocent. Communication is two-way. Communication is us to another person to us. And it's no different with God. It's a two-way relationship. It's not a relationship where we go with a list of things that we want God to do and lay them out and say, right, God, do this, 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 and this. And God ticks them all off and goes, right, I've done that, Derek. What do you want me to do next? Or don't you need anything yet? Come back to me when you need something else. Because that's how we treat it, isn't it, sometimes? If we're honest, that's how sometimes we can treat it, rather than going to God and saying, what do you want from me? And listening to what God wants. And when you pray, don't be like the people who don't know God. They say the same things again and again. That hit me as well. Does that describe your prayer life? They say the same things again and again. Nagging? Does it feel like we're nagging God? We're going with the same things again and again and again, rather than moving on to new things, which is where God wants us to go. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners and pray loudly. Now let's think about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. How did they pray? What was their attitude for prayer? When they were praying, what did they do? Do you know this, Paul? I thought you might know it, but don't worry if you don't. They stood. Yeah, so they didn't sit down to pray. They didn't kneel down to pray. They didn't do any of that. They always stood to pray. How did they stand? Any ideas? Stand up and I'll show you. Those who can stand, you don't all have to stand. Stand up and we'll have a go at being a Pharisee or a Sadducee. It'll get your muscles going anyway. Right. How would you normally pray when you stand? What would you normally do? Yeah. Oh, Paul's got it. That's exactly what they did. Do it again, Paul. Why? That's the position they were in. Higher than that, David. Right up in the air, if you can. That's it. Yeah. And if we were the Pharisees and the Sadducees, stood outside the temple, that is exactly what you'd see. All these people standing like this, making an exhibition. I am praying. Look at how good I am. I am praying to God. And they do that in the marketplace. They do that wherever they were. And they were showing that they were good because they were doing it. You can sit down again now. Yes, they did. They did a lot of bowing as well. Absolutely. Yeah. So that they may be seen by men and women. So they may be seen by men and women. They love to be seen praying in public to shine before men. But this was not the intention of prayer, says Jesus. Go into your inner room. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Because there's different ways of looking at that. What could an inner room be? Could just be an inner room, couldn't it? Yeah, it could just be a room in your house that you think, I'll keep that separate and I'll go to that room when I want to pray because I know it'll be quiet and I'll go to that. But what else could it be? Yeah, I think that as well. I think inner room can have lots of meanings. And one of them is the inner room of you. The inner room of your heart, where you're really expressing to God how you're feeling. Everything about your life, that expression is from your inner room. We've all got them, haven't we? I think. We've all got inner rooms within ourselves. And that's where God wants to be let into our inner room. He doesn't want to be on the periphery of our lives. He wants to be right at the bit where it's all happening. Our inner sanctum. Our praying should not be done for show or to impress other people. It's not about fancy words or what sounds holy. No vain repetitions of words or phrases. And when you pray, don't be like the people who don't know God. They say the same things again and again. They think if they say it enough, their God will hear them. Prayer is not about fancy phrases. It's not about using the right words in the right order. It's about being honest with God about where you are and what your relationship with him. That's the honest bit of prayer. And according to Jesus, that's the prayer that God listens to and answers. And that should be done within our inner space, our inner sanctum, within ourselves. And then, big revelation. Matthew 6, verse 8. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Your Father knows what you need. Note that word as well. There's another four-letter word that you need to remember. Need. Not want. He didn't put what you want. He put what you need before you ask him. Omniscient. Omniscient. He knows all things past, present, and future. I still think that's amazing. Yes. That God knows what we need before we ask him. And he's ready to respond. And he wants to respond. But he wants his children to talk to him. And we've heard that before, haven't we? That a father likes the children to talk to him, just as God likes us to speak to him. And then we come on to a tricky bit. A tricky bit that we don't often visit in churches. Fasting. Anybody ever fasted? Yeah, you don't have to put your hands up for this. It's just a bit. Yeah, between breakfast and dinner. When you fast, we're there again with our when, aren't we? When you fast, don't make yourself look sad like the hypocrites. They put on a look of suffering on their faces so that people know that they're fasting. And the truth is, it's all the reward that they'll get. So when you fast, wash your face, make yourself look nice, then no one will know you are fasting except your Father, who is with you even in private. He can see what he's done in private, and he will reward you. And again, we see the phrase, when. When you fast. The assumption is that you do it, but why do you do it? Is it for the right reasons? Fasting is something that can lead a true Christian as the Spirit leads. Fasting is not a way of showing off one's spirituality, but of drawing closer to God and seeking his guidance. When we fast, it should be done in secret. So there's so many things that we should do with God and not to show off in front of other people. Up to now, we've got praying in a secret room. We've got fasting. We've got giving to people. And all of these things should be done in front of God, but not to glorify ourselves. So all of these things we don't need to tell other people about, because God already knows. Because remember, God knows everything. And God knows the intentions of our hearts. How do you treasure these days? Because he starts about treasure then. Have you all got treasure stocked away in your houses just in case? Masses of gold in the back cupboard, Jean. Yeah, absolutely. Have you got loads of money? Yeah, yours is in the garage, isn't it? Big piles of cash loaded up. Don't save treasure for yourselves here on earth. Moths and rust will destroy them. This is Matthew 6:19. And thieves can break into your house and steal them. Instead, save your treasures in heaven, where they cannot be destroyed by moths or rust, and where thieves cannot break in and steal them. Your heart will be where your treasure is. The only source of light for the body is the eye. If the eyes are good, you will be full of light. If your eyes are bad, you will be full of darkness. And if the only light you have is really darkness, you have the worst kind of darkness. You cannot serve two masters at the same time. You will hate one and love the other, or you will be loyal to one and not care about the other. You cannot serve God and money at the same time. Different translations for that last bit, just to let you know. God and money is one translation, and the other is God and mammon. And it can be translated as money, finances, treasure. It can be translated as man, generally. So it's just to let you know there's different ways that you can look at that verse. we're not to focus on earthly possessions. And yet we do, don't we? We look at what we've got, what we own, how much is in the bank, whether we've got a nice car, whether we've got a nice house. There's lots of things that we look at, and they're all temporary, says Jesus. God is in the business of souls. God is in the business of people coming to know him, not in the business of building up our earthly possessions. If we want to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, who gave his all, we shouldn't give anything less than our all. And if we see our possessions as more important than God, then that stops us doing the work that he needs us to do. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your treasure? Where is it really? Is it of God? Is it the things that God has done for you? Is it your relationship with him? Is it seeking out people to come to Christ? Is it to tell people through the lives that you live about what God is all about? Or is it elsewhere? Is it other things that are more important? One of the things that we've been looking at with these connectional studies that we've done is the fact that we're expected not to just come to God on a Sunday and then go away and live our own lives during the rest of the week, but the whole of our lives should be discipleship, whole life discipleship, which is another study we might do in the future because LICC have just brought it out. But whole life discipleship is about everything being given to God. Unpicking your life and saying, is that bit for God? Is that bit for God? Is that bit for God? And it gets quite tricky because there's some bits that we would probably have to give up. You cannot serve two masters at the same time. You will hate one and love the other, or you will be loyal to one and not care about the other. You cannot serve God and money or God and man at the same time. What are we trying to do? If we've got a divided loyalty, people will basically think that we're fools. People will be going, well, look at Derek. He says he's serving God, and we see him going to church on a Sunday, and then on a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday, we see him doing this, 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 and this. How can that be right? He serves God one day, and then he seems to be serving himself and man and all sorts of other things on other days. It's not right, is it? There's something wrong there. And he says that he believes in God. How can that be? I don't really want to have anything to do with that. I'll just live the life that I'm living because that's just as good. Is that what people are seeing? And then we come to do not worry. Matthew 6:25. So I tell you, don't worry about the things you need to live, what you will eat or drink or wear. Life is more important than food, and the body more important than what you put on it. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or save food in barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. Don't you know you are worth much more than they are? You cannot add any time to your life by worrying about it. And why do you worry about clothes? Look at the wildflowers in the fields. See how they grow. They don't work or make clothes for themselves. But I tell you that even Solomon, the great and rich king, was not dressed as beautifully as one of these flowers. If God makes what grows in the field so beautiful, what do you think he will do for you? It's just grass. One day it's alive and the next day someone throws it into a fire. But God cares enough to make it beautiful. Surely he will do much more for you. Your faith is so small. Don't worry and say, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? That's what those people who don't know God are always thinking about. Don't worry, because your Father in heaven knows that you need all these things. What you should want most is God's kingdom and doing what he wants you to do. Then he will give you the other things that you need. So don't worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Tomorrow will have its own worries. So I tell you, don't worry about the things you need to live. The King James Version uses three words instead of don't worry. It uses take no thought, which I thought was quite just a different slant on it. Take no thought. We only have so many things we can think about during the day and things that we can concentrate on. And the King James Version says, take no thought to those things. There's more important things to be doing for God than worrying. But there is a condition. What you should want most is God's kingdom and doing what he wants you to do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what'll happen if you do that? What'll happen if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Do you remember? Absolutely, Paul. And all these things we've just talked about will be added unto you. That's your priority. That's my priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all those other things will sort themselves out and fall into order. So Jesus talked about giving to the needy and praying and fasting, storing treasure in heaven and not worrying. Connecting with God and allowing God through us to connect with people. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will give you all the other things that you need. Let's try and do that as we go into the next week and beyond.